signs of the time. You know, you always want to keep your head out of the sand and watch what's happening. I want you to think for a moment about Gaza, what all's happening there right at this moment. All the way up to Ashdod and Caesarea, or as some say, Caesarea. Very important what's happening. It's called the gate. Gaza is called the gate of Egypt of old time, and that's where the entrance was. And they're pouring out of Egypt today into Gaza, now that the Israelis have pulled out. I'm going to give you some prophecy today from the Word, and you're going to have to kind of piece it together as we go, and be sharp, okay? Think back. Everything I give you will have a purpose. I may not declare totally what it is, so be sure you keep your notes and think. Joshua chapter 11, let's pick it up with verse 21, and it reads, "And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims," you know what they were? The giants, okay? "From the mountains, from Hebron, from Debar, from Anab," that's the place of the grape, okay? "And from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel, Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities." However, next verse, mark it well. "There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod they remained." They were never driven out. Israel never, those were lands allotted to Judah. But Judah never conquered those places. We're going to talk today about a man that did. One single man. He was an evangelist. And what weapon did he use? Well, what weapon does an evangelist use? Okay. Yeah. The Word. Okay. So, with that in mind, again, now, Gaza was conquered later by Alexandria, but never by Judah. Okay, that's kind of important. You want to hang on to that, because that's what weaves this end-time prophecy together for you, whereby you know kind of how you fit in. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah. I want to go to chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56, and we want to pick it up with verse 1. And it reads, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment." Always use good judgment. Be fair to people. Okay, don't show partiality. And when you're in a position of teaching or anything else, treat everyone the same. "For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed." That's for us today as well. It's not that far off. "Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping his hand from doing any evil." What is our Sabbath? I want you to get that straight in your mind coming out the gate. What is our high, let's take it from this angle. What is our high Sabbath? Doesn't matter what day of the year it falls on, it's Passover. And as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, who became our Passover? Christ did. Christ is our high Sabbath. Don't pollute him. Don't pollute his word. Stay loyal to him. He has always been loyal to you. So that's how they pollute it. How would they mainly pollute the high Sabbath in this end generation? By worshiping the false Sabbath, which is to say, Antichrist. It's going to happen, beloved, and it's going to be sad. I can't think of anything that is sadder for a so-called Christian maybe gone to church all their life and just really, you know, were loyal to that pew, but were never taught anything. And then to worship the false Messiah, the devil, a Christian worshiping the devil, thinking he's the Lord. That's awful. That's an abomination. That's polluting the Sabbath. It's going to happen. You're going to see it. It's going to be very sad. That should give you all the more strength and reason to stand for something and to stand for the true Christ. Verse 3, Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. In other words, this new Sabbath I'm bringing you is going to change some things. By the old law, a eunuch wasn't blessed. Okay? So I'm going to bless them. It's no longer going to be said according to the gospel. The gospel changes things. Verse 6, For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuch that keep my Sabbaths. That's to say what? Loves the Lord. That keeps the high Sabbath. I don't care if you are a eunuch and you keep the high Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Get into it. Stand for it. Live for it. And even die for it if that were necessary. Not necessary, but be that strong with it. 5. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within mine walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name. They shall not be cut off. They're not going to have any sons and daughters, okay? You got it? A eunuch cannot have sons and daughters. But he says, I'm going to do something better than that for them, and that's a bunch. I'm going to give them a new name. Can you guess what that is? Christ man. Christian. I'm going to allow them to be a Christian of the gospel. Now, in the days of the beginning of the church in the New Testament, things got a little busy for the 12. And so they appointed 7. Now let me see. That 7 sounds familiar, doesn't it? I wonder what that signifies. I wonder what that could stand for. 7 evangelists that must do God's work to kind of help out and get this over the top. Well, I've heard of 7,000, and 7 in spiritual numerics means spiritual completeness, so they named 7. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, gives the most beautiful message in one or two chapters that covered the entire Bible, that gives you the true message of God. They killed him, stoned him to death. Guess who was holding the coats while the deed was done? Paul, named Saul at that time. He was holding the coats. But there was one left that was after Stephen, most popular, Philip. What does the word Philip mean when you translate that name? Lover of horses. Okay. And he loves horses and he doesn't want anyone riding those horses that doesn't belong. Okay, are you with me? You heard of the four horsemen? Philip kind of takes care of four horsemen. Okay. Now, let's go to Philip. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. What could possibly that have to do with Ashdod and with Gaza? Let's see, that's in the New Testament, isn't it? Acts chapter 8. I'll get there. Okay, first, let's learn as Philip had to learn. When you gather in large groups, you're going to have knuckleheads show up, all right? You're going to have dreamers that have all kinds of not so nice ideas about how God has picked them to do certain things and they're a special deliverer, you know. And they're a bunch of fruitcakes, okay? You got to be smart enough to spot them a mile away. They can't gather a crowd on their own, So they always show up, okay? Now, Philip, this one that's a lover of horses and does not like bad riders, the four of them, he had this problem. He was, after Stephen was murdered, Philip was, he was performing some great things. Let's pick it up with verse 13. He's preaching real good, okay? And what happens in chapter 8, verse 13? Then Simon himself believed also. He converted to Christianity. Can you believe that? And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done by the... Philip didn't do them. The Holy Spirit did. And Simon is looking like... Simon claimed he was really something. You got that? I mean, he was a special appointed by God to do something. And here he's following Philip around because there's miracles happening. He wants to know how to play this game, really, when you're just really honest with it. It's not a game. And it's not something man does. It's something our Father does, okay? Now, 14. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria, this is where the 10 tribes mostly hung out, remember, in past, had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They hadn't done that yet, but that they might. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that, through laying on of hands, laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Ooh, I got to have that. I want that bad. Okay. Can you imagine that? You got just as bad, you know, friends, as circulates around today. Okay. And usually instead of paying money, they're trying to collect money. Okay. But anyway, here he is. He shows himself for what he is. He's a fraud, a fake. He wants to do miracles, but he wants, there's got to be a trick to it. Not the Holy Spirit doing it. Not our Heavenly Father. 19, saying, give me also this power that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, thou money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And so it did. Do you know what finally happened to Simon? When Christ was crucified, it is said, it's called simony. When Christ was crucified and put in the tomb and resurrected in 3 days, Simon says, crucify me and put me in that tomb. I'm coming out in 3 days. He still hadn't come out. So that ended simony for him. But they're still around. Be careful, friend, when you're one of the seven. Okay? Be very careful. Don't be robbed. Don't be downplayed too. You don't have to never apologize for the Word of God. It is written. And it shall come to pass as it is written. Now, Philip, the lover of horses, especially hates those that are bad riders of the four horses. We pick him up again on in this chapter 8. And here begins the prophecy, verse 26. Listen to me carefully. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. It's dry down there. Very dry. Bear in mind, Gaza's still in the hands of the Philistines. Verse 27, he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This is a line of female queens. Well, that's all queens are female. Well, now come to think about it. Don't want to go there. These were all female queens of Ethiopia, okay, who had the charge of all her treasury. and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This eunuch came all the way from below Gaza, all the way down into Ethiopia, up to Jerusalem to worship, meaning he wanted to learn about God. Who was it that sent Philip down there? An angel from God. Not necessarily the angel of God in the ancient manuscript. Doesn't matter. It's God's word. Okay. 26. So this eunuch was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. That's Isaiah in the Greek. 29. And the Spirit, naturally that's the Holy Spirit, said unto Philip, the horse lover, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I want you to know God is engineering this all the way. That's important. God engineering it all the way. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me, instruct me in this? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And here God has sent Philip from Jerusalem down through some bad country on a road by the sea that is Philistine controlled, and joins up with this eunuch. 32. The place of the scripture which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. He didn't complain. Naturally, this is Isaiah 53 that we cover so many times, even when we're taking communion. Verse 33, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And you're the one naturally that's going to do that. You're going to declare his generation. That means the generation of God's elect. That means the generation of the fig tree. 34, and a eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Question. Who's he talking about? Of himself or some other man? You see, he didn't know that Christ had been crucified and died on the cross. 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We covered that this morning about how he was crucified, how his body received the stripes and we received the healing, and how he was buried in a rich man's tomb, but he was crucified between malefactors. And he was sharing this with this eunuch of how Christ had paid these prices for us. 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And you got to remember, we're in the desert. Now think for me, okay? Get your thinking caps on. We're in the desert. And they come to certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What would stop me? I believe. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what's necessary. 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. This is the place of parking the chariots. Both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior. 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Many times God wanted Philip away from him for this moment, because you just read of the first individual conversion into Christianity in the New Testament. Want me to say that again? You just read of the first individual conversion into Christianity. We've had a lot of people join the church in one day, but it wasn't individual. This is individual. Reason for it. And was baptized in certain water. Okay. Philip, where did Philip go? Verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus. Azotus is Ashdod. Make a note of it. I say again, Azotus is Ashdod. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I mean, that's several miles. He preached all the way through. Wasn't Judah's land. He took it. Turn ahead with me to chapter 21. Hold your place here. Hold your place in chapter 8. Turn ahead to Acts 21. Verse 8 of chapter 21, the great book of Acts. And the next, this is Paul's travels. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. This is 25, 30 years later. Okay? It's important. 25, 30 years later. He's still there. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. How many times does he have to advertise it? One of the seven, 25 years, beating the woods, what evangelists are supposed to do. But wait, there's another line here. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now, what is it that men and women are supposed to do of God's elect in the final days, as it's written in Acts chapter 2? Both sons and daughters are to prophesy. To dream dreams, for old men dream dreams. They sleep a lot. No, but that's not funny, is it, old men? But what does four represent? Earth. What in the world is this man doing with four virgin daughters, this lover of horses? That means all four of them chose preaching rather than getting married and having a family. That's not normal. Okay? That really means there's got to be a deeper, much deeper message. So it is earth, and they be the virgin bride representing that Christ is returning for. Okay? One man doesn't have four virgin. How many of you have four daughters? No. But I mean, this is highly, it's not normal. Okay. And I mean, hey, these girls are not just average preachers. They preach. Okay. They're getting it done. 25 years from Gaza all the way up through Caesarea. They got it under control. Now, I want you to hold your place back at chapter 8. I want you to read that verse 40 again. But Philip was found at Azotus, that's Ashdod, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Did he keep his mouth shut? No. He preached. That's what the seven are supposed to do, is to pass on the word, to plant the seed. Now listen to me real closely. He was found at Ashdod. Do you know the only water, basically, that there is very close to Ashdod? It's in the Valley of Elah. Carriages can come by there. There was another carriage came by there one time. Do you know whose carriage it was? It was little old David's. He was going to see his brothers that were fighting the giant in the Valley of Elah. Right at Ashdod. And this giant had all of Israel backed against the fence. There wasn't a fence there, but you know the figure of speech. I mean, they got their back to the wall. And this Philistine is boom, boom, he's marching back and forth. We better go and read it, okay? The stream of water, Elah, is only a mile and a half from Ashdod. Now, where do you think the eunuch was baptized? It's desert. Think about it. mile and a half. And that's where Philip ended up at. It was a mile and a half away in Ashdod. Taking what? Taking care of business. Preaching. But what this all hinges on is how the battle was won. And you've got to go back to the battle, for out of the mouths of children come forth the truth of God's word. David was a child, a young person, young man. Out of his mouth came the victory from Elah at Ashdod, where the giants were, with one particular giant, an old boy named Goliath. Okay? But you got to pay attention. Now listen to me, summarize. One of the seven, an evangelist, had four virgin daughters, symbolic four of earth, and the virgin bride, hopefully, that Christ is going to find, that hasn't preached some other message, was holding the line, preaching the real truth. You understand? And there you have the setup for what's happening in Gaza today. What's going to happen? Watch it very closely. There is a time of coming out. How will that battle be won? 1 Samuel. Chapter 17. Samuel chapter 17, and I think we're going to pick it up in verse 17. That'll work, won't it? Sure. 17:17. 1 Samuel 17. Now, again, I want to remind you, Eli. Those of you that want to double check, this is real simple. Okay, you know, we carry the little Atlas Bible maps, and you have, after all, you have the map. It's a road map to peace taking place there now, right? Okay, are you with me? Hello. The road map to peace. Okay, and but you can get this little Atlas Bible Atlas of biblical locations from our library on page 12. In the lower left insert, you will be able to spot Eli and how close the water comes to Ashdod, okay? That'll document what I've been telling you here. Sorry I don't have the graphics or anything here, but you're so smart. A bunch of smart ones. Smart ones what? Anyway, you are, and you can pick up on it just like that, okay? So, verse 17, let's go with it. I'm just helping you out here, okay? You got to put all this together because it's so beautiful. 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And Jesse said unto David, that's his father, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, 10 being government, okay? And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how our brethren fare, and take their pledge. I want to know how my boys are doing out there. You know, how they're holding out, if any of them been bumped off, you know, how the war's going. 19. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah. It's important. That's the name of the stream. In that valley, E-L-A-H, it means oak, like an oak tree, or it means strong, okay? Fighting with the Philistines. They were fighting with who? Fighting with the Philistines. They always owned it at that time and all through. Never was taken from them. And David rose up early in the morning, and he left the sheep with the keeper, and took, and he went, and Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench. This trench means the parking place of the carriages, okay? Kind of like where the eunuch and them parked their carriage and went down and baptized. and the host was going forth into the fight and shouted for the battle. They wanted it. Okay. 21. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. I'm going to tell you something. You've got the same spiritual battle taking place today. Do you know why terrorists attacked America? Because it's religious. Okay. They don't like what we teach. They don't like what we believe. And unfortunately, you're in a religious war, like it or lump it. You know something? It's not the first time. Not the first time at all. 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. Visited with them. How you doing? How's everything going? I tell you, it was not going good. Okay. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, that means the grape press, Goliath by name, that means splendor, boy, splendid, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. I mean, he was repeating this every day. You'll find it back in verse 8 of what he was saying. And he stood and he cried and he said, I'm a Philistine, send your champion out and I'll take him. And if he defeats me, we'll all be your servants. Well, this guy stood on up there, okay? I mean, he's a whopper. He's big. He's a giant. And the people in Israel's army, including David's brothers, they wanted no part of it. No part of it whatsoever. David heard it. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Now, as it would turn out, Saul giving him his daughter wasn't the greatest gift in the world, okay? But that was part of the deal, okay? Verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by, saying, what shall be done? What are you going to do to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? What are you going to do for him? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, soak those words in real good. If you ever get fear in your heart, know what army you're in. You're in the army of the living God. Well, what does that leave us to fear? Nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Verse 27. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. A little whippersnapper come out here in his mouth and off. He's probably going to get one of us killed here if he isn't careful. And said, what camest thou down hither? What did you come out here for? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He come down to take part in the battle, okay? His big brother is just kind of putting him down a little bit, but he's jealous, all right? I mean, how would you feel if you were big brother and you had to shake when that giant shook the ground when he walked, you know? It'd be kind of a bad spot. 29. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Well, what are you angry at me about? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, whoa, I jumped. They rehearsed them before Saul. They told him. And he sent for him. I've got some kind of hope going here. The whole camp's been at a standstill still for days. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." You know why David wasn't afraid of him? Because he was a Philistine. And he was defying God. And David had stood for God many times before in the charge that he had had with his sheep and other things. He always won. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." You know, you have a battle coming, my friends. A conflict. There's a war between God and Satan. Some of you are going to, if not all, are going to be delivered up before their champion. And you're going to have to rely on God, as David did, to accomplish this. This is why this baptism took place in this place. This is why that Elath, Ashdod, Caesarea, Gaza, you're having the stir now. We're coming up on that time. It's flooding in. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." I killed him. "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." I don't know, are you going to stand up for God? You see, it's out of the mouth of this youth that you can learn something. Wisdom. When you're in God's army, you're going to win. Okay. You've got the victory. It all fits together like a fine tailored glove. God's word and his support of his children. He loves them. He makes it so easy for us. David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear." Who delivered him? The Lord delivered him. "And he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." We got a chance, let's take it. Okay. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. This is not the armor you need, my friend. What armor do you need? Ephesians 6. The armor of God, of course. The word and the shield, Christ. When you're fighting God's battles, put on his armor. And you'll do just fine. Okay. But Saul's got to, you know, let's deck the kid out where he's at least got a fighting chance. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he was assayed to go, for he had not proved it. Don't ever go to war with something weapon you haven't proved. All right. Not even sighted in. Okay. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them," and David put them off of him. Way to go, okay? He's going to fight with what he knows works, all right? And you need to know this for this battle we're approaching, okay? You need to know what weapons it is that finishes it. Listen to me. Philip conquered as an evangelist from Gaza all the way to Caesarea. Country that armies couldn't take. 25 years of occupation. In some way or another, he was fortunate enough that God blessed him with 4 virgin daughters that were all preachers. How would you like to have visited that house? Preachers in every corner. I think it's wonderful. I think it's great, okay? But naturally, we know this is symbolic of the virgin bride of Christ that he expects to take 4 here on earth. And poor old Philip, lover of horses, hates those horsemen of the apocalypse. And he's got 1 daughter for each of them to put them in their place, spiritually speaking, okay? Verse 40, "And he took his staff in his hand and shows him five smooth stones out of the brook, right here where the water was, okay? Little brook, probably where the eunuch was baptized. And put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You want to listen to the words of David. You can't go wrong with them. You want to win a battle? You want to be a champion? Then follow David's advice. Verse 41, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the men that bare the shield went before him. Here they come, this awesome warrior with a helmet standing 13 feet tall. Okay. And he's got a beam 15 or 18 foot long, trudging along there, and he's even got a man to carry his shield. And he looks down there, and there's that boy. Five smooth stones. What does five mean? What does it stand for? Grace. 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. Near. Just a young, very young, inexperienced man. And ruddy, and of a fair countenance. 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? I'm a warrior. Splendid, they call me. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. You got that? By his gods. Not David's God. Not our God. Verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. I'll feed you to the birds. And 45, then said David to the Philistine, listen to these words carefully. They're your war song. They're your war march. Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You've shamed them. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know there is a Father, and you know He's behind you. Listen to David's words well. He didn't have a tank. He didn't have an M16. He had a slingshot. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear. Now listen carefully. Not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. He always has given us our enemy into our hands. Some of you have been fortunate or unfortunate enough to do battle where God kind of helped us out a bunch, okay? It's a beautiful thing to see, and certainly a warming of the heart to know you found deliverance when the odds were so insurmountable and it wasn't possible. But with God, all things are possible. And so David stated it. You're not going to win this last battle with sword or spear. You're going to win it with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaking through you. That's how it's going to be. From Gaza to Ashdod, all the way to Caesarea. Check it out on the maps. Look at it on the charts. Never taken by an army, but taken by a preacher and four preacher girls. 25 years. Lived safely. Safe enough, Paul even spent the night with them. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. The deadly wound. He received it. Did it with what? Sling stone. You know, I don't know if you know, that can be a very deadly little weapon, all right, especially if it's in the hand of an expert, and David was, all right. He took him. This so upset the enemy. But it is the stone of God, upon it written a new name. And I'm quoting Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. A new name that no man can know or understand, unless you have the Word of God, that God is with us. It is even a new song, and that song protects us because it's God's truth. And the very gospel armor that we put on as we go into this war, and it's coming, my friends, it's much closer than you might think. As the sands of time begin to tick out of the hourglass that's already been overturned, and that day is coming. How will we win the war? With God's Word. That's what it takes. That's all it takes. The most powerful weapon in the world is God's awesome power. He created it, He can speak, and He can disannul it. And He always stays with His children. I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. So, why in even the New Testament did we have this Philip, this lover of horses, go all the way down to Gaza and Ashdod? And in this little stream of Elah, mile and a half from Ashdod, where he ended up at, baptizing the Ethiopian, because the gospel changes lives. The old kind of set certain parameters, but the new, when you take on the name Christman, and you are one that makes that name grow among all peoples, Christman or Christian, when you carry that message forward, no one can stand in the way of it. Do you know why? I've read the back of the book. We win. Okay. Big time. Big time. These prophecies are written for us to gain from, to observe and to live by, to know and to be aware. Watch Gaza. It is still the gateway from Egypt, and believe you me, they're pouring in. They are pouring in. Even armies are trying to stop it, even as we speak. Interesting, but what's most important? How we win the war. Okay. I think it's fantastic. Those four beautiful daughters, all of them prophetess. And then you have so-called turned-around collars and what have you men that say, women should keep their mouths shut. Well, you know, not bad, but they're going to work, though, okay? Have you ever seen it work? I haven't. Boy, I'm about to spoil this right here after I've got a pretty good job. You know. No, I think it's wonderful that God uses whosoever will, you know, whomsoever will. Whether, I don't care if it's male, female, child. I mean, little old David didn't, you know, here's the whole army. His big brothers, I mean, hey, we're talking warriors here. I mean, we're talking pride. We're talking men of valor, okay? And here comes this little old boy who spent a lot of time out in the nature with the sheep and God. And he wins, okay? So don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget. This is why Jesus himself would say in one place, out of the mouths of babes comes the truth. He was talking about that babe. And out of that babe's mouth came the truth. Don't ever. We will never. You see, what you're up against, you have got certain judges, if you want to call them that, I got another name, that are trying to remove God's name from our vocabulary, basically. Do you think the God of Israel is going to allow that? I would hate to. He better buy him some asbestos underwear, and he better get it on special soon. Because God is not happy with what's going on, but in God's name and in God's truth, you are going to put his enemies under his footstool. You're going to stand. You're going to stand for something. You're going to stand for everything. You're going to stand for the truth. And that truth will always deliver you.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
The people of the world are going to follow after. They're going to whore after him because they're going to think it is Jesus come to fly them away. This is why that false teaching can sure get you in a lot of trouble in this generation of the fig tree. Donna from Montana, thank you. And your staffs and the sons, you're welcome. So many movies regarding Satan's coming depict him being born as a baby. Doesn't that contradict why he left God in the first place? Yes, it does. And it is just a bunch of malarkey, okay? No way is Satan going to be born of woman. He's coming to seduce woman, all the bride of Christ. He wants her. Emily from Colorado. Thank you, your staff leading. I love for my new life, for bringing me to my new life. You're welcome. Our grandson Dominique, we lost him to the Lord. He was 4.5 years old and was born with a rare disease. Only 59 cases. Okay, question. I know he is with God. He never was given a chance on earth. Well, he's sure going to have his chance where he's at, okay? I needed to know, does he know that we loved him and miss him so? Of course he does. He's not handicapped in heaven, okay? And he's mature in heaven. And he knows and feels that love. You don't have to worry about that. Please don't doubt it. That's the way our Father is. He loves his children. Okay, Tom from Illinois. The Bible says if someone doesn't work, then don't feed them. You always say this does not apply to the handicap. Is mental illness considered a handicap? Of course it is. Of course it is. John from California. Are the city of Tyre, referenced in Isaiah, and the city of Tyrus, referenced in Ezekiel, the same city? The same, that word in the Hebrew is rock, okay? Both means rock. And as it is referring to Tyrus, the king of Tyrus, in Ezekiel 28, that's Satan. He's the false rock. He is that. He always will be the false rock. He's not our vine. He's not our rock. He's a fake. And that's what the Tyrus means, or Tyre. Chase from Tennessee, please explain, how do you see a spirit? You do not see a spirit. This is why that a spirit, the word spirit in the Greek is pneuma. It's like a pneumatic tire. Do you see the air you put in a tire to pump it up? Of course you don't. Why? Air is not visible unless someone adds color to it. And the same word, spirit, in the Hebrew tongue is ruach, which means wind. Can you see the wind when it blows as long as there's no debris in it? Of course you can't. You can feel it. You can feel the spirit. You can feel the Holy Spirit. And you can sure feel an evil spirit also if you have spiritual discernment. And all Christians need to have that discernment. But you will never be able to, you can see the results of the Holy Spirit, and you can see the results of an evil spirit, but not the actual spirit. David from South Carolina, there are exceptions to every rule when God allows it. David from South Carolina, does God judge you on your worst behavior or your best behavior? Both. I think today's lecture probably answers your question for you. On your worst behavior, I hope you've repented for it. Okay. And then it's erased. It's not there for you to be judged by. But what happens to your best behavior according to today's lecture? Also, if you turn bad again, that's kind of not mentioned. So you kind of want to remember to repent and to follow God. He judges you fair. I mean just fair and square all the way. And that's the way it is. All he wants you to do is say, I repent, I love you, I'm sorry, and try to do what's right. Ken from Georgia. Where in the Bible does it talk about Satan's getting thrown out of heaven? Well, it states it very clearly in Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. And it's right on the toe of Michael's boot, all right? He's coming to earth then as to be Jesus' boy. So that's when trouble starts. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all a lot for a real special reason. You know why? Because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, that makes your Father's day. He really loves you when you study the letter he's written to you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep it coming to you. Bless God. You know what? He will always bless you. Most important, this. You stay in his word. Set a little time aside each day and get in that word. Every day in it's a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Jesus is the living word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.